Dad's on the air. We're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. And welcome back to Dad's on the Air. It's a great day today, and we're coming to you again from the studios of Fine Music 102.5. And also, this is Bill Cable speaking, and in the studio today we have Ken Thompson, who's joined us to ask a few questions, and we also have our special guest, Ryan Heffernan. Ryan is a recognised Australian television producer. He's an investigative journalist and writer. Ryan worked for News Limited before going behind the scenes as an investigative producer with the Seven Networks Today Tonight, and is now a freelance journalist. Ryan has done many things during his career. He's flown headlong into a cyclone in a light plane. He's sat with the families of Bali bombing victims, and he's roamed Queensland's Palm Island with locals following a riot in response to an Aboriginal death in custody. But he's now found a more challenging role, and he's going to tell us a bit about it and what he's learnt from this new role, the new role being that he suddenly found he had a one-year-old son who, and also faced with single parenthood. He regards this as perhaps his greatest challenge. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning.
Ryan, what led you into writing your new book, which, by the way, is called Super Dad Speed Bible?
I became a single parent when my son was one. At the time, I was in a really intense job, and obviously, I'd only been a parent in a relationship for a fairly short time. And when confronted with being a single parent, I discovered very, very rapidly that I didn't really know what I was doing.
And I suppose you look for some resources or somehow to find out what you should be doing.
That's exactly what I did, and I couldn't really find anything. I found some enormous books, so written very much for mums, nothing aimed at dads, and I wanted something to sort of break it down and look at the basics, the tools of parenting. So it's really very much what I've done is very much not a parenting book that tells you philosophically how to raise your kids or emotionally how to raise them. It's about the practical day-to-day requirements of you as a dad. So it's everything from looking after your own health, because that's very, very important in raising a kid, looking after your kid's health, things like nutrition, sleep, some behavior, even down to how to pack a bag and try and find a good childcare center, because these are all things that I hadn't planned for at all and really wasn't equipped to make decisions about.
Yeah. You're suddenly thrown in at the deep end, aren't you, in this situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was quite a shock, and it was a very intense introduction.
And what would you say was the biggest shock you found when you suddenly became a single dad?
The most jarring thing was I suppose I'd gone from a lifestyle I'd had for a very long time where I had a lot of commitments at work, the very intense kind of workload, and all of a sudden I had a kid as well on my own, and I was trying to balance raising a child with my work commitments and trying to balance the whole thing out. And I really when you added the child into the mix, it was essentially more than I was prepared for. And I had to make a series of realizations, including that if I was going to raise a kid in the way that I wanted to raise them, then some sacrifices were going to need to be made fairly quickly.
And what did you find was the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge I found was dealing with all those things, dealing with particularly at the start, was dealing with a breakup and all the emotion that goes with that, dealing with learning how to be a single parent and dealing with the commitments I had at work all at the same time. And combining all that together, it comes to what I consider to be the most important point in my view about being a dad, which is being able to get in the moment with your kid and give them that meaningful, undivided attention when you've got 1,000 things swimming around your brain and 1,000 commitments swimming around your brain. And if you're not switched on that level with your kid, then they're not going to be happy. And what I found, the challenge was balancing all those things. And I found that the way I handled it, I wasn't in the brain space to give my kid what he needed. And the biggest challenge from that was to get myself into the right headspace to be the kind of parent I wanted to be.
Yes, because it sounds like you weren't emotionally disengaged from the mother, really. You there was still some involvement with her, and yet you had to force yourself to be on your own and look after your child.
Yeah, I did. And it was, you know, I was, from the outset, I was never going to be an every second weekend parent. It never really entered my mind at any significant level. So I sort of charted into territories where I didn't really know where I was going. And a lot of those emotions from that relationship were swimming around, you know, trying to be a breadwinner, trying to be a great parent. All of those things were happening all at once.
Mm. And who is the book aimed at principally, would you say?
Look, in my view, it's for every dad, and it's particularly, I believe it's particularly pertinent now because you've got dads more than ever trying to play really active roles in their kids' lives. So, yes, it absolutely serves the purpose for a single parent or you know, a new single dad, but there's no reason at all why this can't be applied to every dad. If you, you know, if you're a dad in a relationship and your partner goes away for the day, your partner goes for the week, or, you know, heaven forbid, she goes forever and you've got a kid, what I hope this book will do is give you the tools you need to be a self-contained dad who can handle the whole shebang on your own.
So just continuing this analogy as a toolbox, you would expect the fathers to be able to just reach into it when they have a particular problem and see some suggestions? Is that the way it would
work? Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's a memoir to kick it off, which tells my story, and the reason I've done that is to kind of show this is the mess you can enter. This is how difficult it can be. But then it's very much broken down into chapters that cover things like your personal health and things you can do to look after yourself, looking after your kids' health, even things like looking out for milestones, vaccinations, even clothing, what sizes you can expect them to wear at certain ages. But you can refer to that chapter and get that information at whatever stage of your kids' development you're at.
So do you think this is something different for men, that say, from the mothers? I mean, would you say mothers are perhaps more hardwired than men to look at all these sorts of questions? Or is it something we're growing into, or that you're helping the process?
Look, I don't, you know, I honestly, and what I've heard from a lot of mums, and a lot of this is anecdotal, you know, it's mums just chatting to me, but a lot of them, what they explain to me is that it isn't hardwired. It's an excellent question. It isn't necessarily hardwired. They have a hard road doing it on their own and learning it from scratch. They often have good support, though. Women have got excellent support in whether it be mothers groups or their own families and their relationships with their mothers and their mothers-in-law, whoever it might be. Men are charting new territory, but I am of the view that if a man is regularly changing his kids' nappies, regularly making them meals, taking them to the doctor, being there for their dances at kindy or whatever it might be, if they're there and they're present and they're doing those day-to-day things all of the time, not just coming in as the plaything for 25 minutes after work and hanging around a bit at weekends, if they do all those things, I believe that will hardwire men, you know, sooner rather than later.
So you're definitely not of the Disneyland dad school.
No, absolutely, absolutely not. No, I believe that these things, while on the surface they're very practical, they play a huge process in the bonding that takes place between you and your child.
Okay, we're speaking with Ryan Heffernan, the author of Super Dad Speed Bible, The Toolbox for Men with Young Kids. And this is Dad's on the Air, brought to you from the studios of Fine Music 102.5. We're now just going to have a short music break, and we'll be back shortly with more from our guest, Ryan Heffernan.
Time to make a change, just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot, Why think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. How can I try to explain? When I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same, same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. Time to make a change. Just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. Keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree. But it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
That was Cherub Rock by Smashing Pumpkins. That was the choice of song of Ryan Heffernan's son. So that was a great choice from him. That's the future coming through. We're able to tell you that we have a couple of copies of the book Super Dad Speed Bible to give away to some lucky listeners today. So go to our website, www.dadsontheair.com.au. Go to the About section, contact us and send us an email. Tell us where you heard the show and we'll be in touch. So in the meantime, and also I should mention on that website, www.dadsontheair.com.au, you can catch up with all our shows. And in the meantime, we'll look forward to seeing you again next week when we'll have another guest through your community radio network. So in the meantime, this is Dad's on the Air, and we'll be saying goodbye for now. Looking forward to another great guest next week. So until then, cheerio. Now, Ryan, I note that in Chapter 8 you've got a whole section on A Mile of Stones, My Kids Better Than Yours. Is this dads falling into the way of the mothers at the childcare where they say, you know, my child's taller than your child?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when they're young, you know, how soon they should walk, how soon they should talk, how soon they should smile. You know, so much is said about it. And, you know, everything that I've heard from doctors and otherwise is that, you know, they're just a loose guide. And what I've tried to provide is a very loose guide as to, you know, what are the signs your kid's doing well and what are the signs they aren't. But essentially it's, again, to demystify so the dads don't panic if things are happening just as the mums at childcare said they should.
Yes, of course that's a big worry. You always hear about mothers counting the fingers and counting the toes. So does your book provide some guidance as to when you should get some external advice if you're concerned about the development of your child?
Yeah, absolutely. Within that milestones chapter, there's clear guides there that, you know, there are signs. You know, if a kid isn't doing certain things, isn't walking by two, or you know, it could be all manner of things. If it gets to that sort of, they're so far behind the pace, then there's guides there for when you should go to a doctor and have a chat to them about it, when it might be worth a chat.
Yes, because I imagine it does give some reassurance, because especially the first time parents, they tend to worry about every sniffle, don't they? You've only had the one, I think, so you might find it easier the second or third time when you get there.
Yeah, you do. You worry about all sorts of things. I worried about things from time to time, but at the end of the day, you know, kids are resilient. They grow at their own pace. It's not worth panicking about, and just go and have that quiet chat to a doctor if you get worried at all.
And did your son find out about this book, that you were writing the book?
Yeah, he did. He knew it didn't really start to come to fruition in his head. He knew that I was writing a book, but it didn't come to fruition what it was until he was perhaps five, when we started. Or no, he was actually six, and we started having to do the photo shoots for the cover and that sort of thing. And he could start to see what it was going to look like. And he was also at a time when he was starting to read slightly bigger books at school and at home. So he could see, oh, wow, you've written one of these and you've written a really big one. So it was quite an exciting time for him.
And his photo is on the cover. So has this found its way to his school, I wonder?
It has made his way to his school. And they've also asked me to go on there and have a chat about what it takes to write a book. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's great. And I think he was quite dismissive, wasn't he, at one stage about the book?
Yeah. He wasn't fussed about it at all. It didn't mean a thing. But then, you know, ultimately when it came together and he was being asked to go and get photos done for the newspaper and to go on TV, he started to realise, oh, wow, you have actually written a book, which is a pretty big deal, which is great. It's actually something that I'm really glad that he's seen, that you know, that you can take on something that's a bit chunky and get it done. And also, I think it was quite exciting to him that he was actually the inspiration behind it as well.
Well, he was the inspiration. And what were your main sources in writing the book?
Me. Me and him. Yeah, which is why it's very much a practical guy, because, you know, because I did have to learn a lot of this on my own. Certainly, though, that's not completely true. I did look up for things like sleep and behaviour, chapters on sleep and behaviour. I did refer to, you know, some basic guides from, you know, actual, you know, academic research and what people are saying is a good idea. So rather than give me guidance on that heavyweight stuff, I did refer. But by and large, it is just experience, and it is very practical for that reason. I'm not telling people how to psychologically, you know, raise their kids. That's not my expertise. My expertise is about how to make the house run and how to keep the kid happy.
Well, there was one interesting thing. You talk at one stage about whether parents should sleep with the child, and there are, you know, all sorts of issues raised in that. But I think generally you're saying it can be a healthy practice.
Yeah, it's something actually called co-sleeping, and it's something that happens particularly in developing countries where they sleep side by side with their kids for long periods of time, partly on belief of how they should be raised, but also based on they just have small household and limited resources around the house, so that's just how they sleep. But, you know, I've had periods of time where I've co-slept with my son because of the conditions we've lived in, the size of the house, and other times where I haven't. What I have found is during those times can be quite bonding. You know, you can get closer to your child by sleeping with him. And I've got, you know, quite a lot of friends who have done the same thing.
And has the mother objected to that or made any comment? I presume you mentioned it to her, did you?
No, and she's done it herself, because that's kind of the life of the single parent living in Sydney, you know, where it's so expensive to live. If you want to live on your own, it's going to be expensive to have a place on your own. And even if you're flat with somebody else, you know, you often won't be able to afford two rooms as in my case, I live in Manly. You're looking at $400-$500 a week for rent. So it can be, you know, for a single parent, you know, it can be, you may have no choice.
Yeah, so once again, this is a practical tip, and I suppose then you get to the stage that when the child is 10, 11, 12, they're going to be too old for that, aren't they? But hopefully your situation will have improved by then.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely, you know, it's not something I would do long-term. It's an on-off kind of thing as needed. But yeah, definitely as they get older, you know, they need their own room. And my son's already had his own room on occasions and not on others. So, but yeah, in the future, definitely he will.
Okay, Ryan, we're speaking to Ryan Heffernan, the author of Super Dad Speed Bible. And we always ask our guests to select a song to go with for whatever reason, something that means something to them or in why they particularly choose a song. So Ryan, could you tell us which song you've picked and why?
Yeah, my son is, you know, even from 18 months of age, became very hooked on grunge music. In the first instance, it was Nirvana, and he's progressed and diverse. So at the moment, he's right into Smashing Pumpkins, and he's asked me to pick Cherub Rock for you.
So we're going to be running with Cherub Rock. Yeah, I think you mentioned that he was previously a Nirvana fan.
Huge Nirvana fan. It was actually when he was 18 months old, of all things, a friend gifted me a DVD of Nirvana Unplugged, and I whacked it on at home, not thinking for a second that he'd be particularly interested, but he was playing with his toys, and he went straight up to the TV cabinet, stuck both hands on the cabinet, and sat in front of the entire DVD and didn't move, and has loved it ever since.
Oh, so that's great. So he's developing some good musical taste with his father sort of in the industry. So I'm sure you'll be able to guide him along the way in years to come.
No doubt.
just before we get on with the track, you yourself, which way are your musical leanings?
Look, I still love flashing back to my grunge music, but you know, as time's gone on, I'm become a big fan of jazz and classical music.
Jazz and classical. Oh, okay. So a bit of a change from Smashing Pumpkins.
Miles Davis at the moment. I'm listening to a lot of Miles Davis.
Oh, look, that's great. So we'll be playing Smashing Pumpkins, but don't forget to go to our website, which is www.dadsontheair.com.au, or you can forget about the www, just go to dadsontheair.com.au and listen in next week for another great program. Until then, it's cheerio from Dad's on the Air.